A novice timidly approaches his Zen master. "Master," he asks, "may I eat candy?" "Yes, you may, but in moderation," answers the master. "And may I send email?" "Yes," the master replies, "but no attachments." We are attached to many things. Our houses, our cars, our clothing, our phones, that favorite coffee cup. Did I mention our phones? We know that these things are solid and real, but we also know that they are impermanent. We worry about, Buddhists would say we suffer. Before I go on, what time is it, please? I need to keep track. No, really, what time is it? One of you must have a phone.
10:42.
What is it?
10:42.
10:42, thank you. Well, we want coffee, don't we? Now, if I ask you again in a minute, we will all agree that it will be 10:43. We're experts at telling time. We have our watches, our technology. We know what a minute is. And even if some say that time is a somewhat arbitrary construct, we still will all agree, okay, most of us, we're UUs after all, that 60 seconds will have gone by. I recently had my car inspected. Every year I go to the same place on Independence Boulevard, take the same route, even the same car for the last 19 years. But each time the year seems to have shortened. This year, there was a really young fellow sitting there behind the register, and I said, "Well, another year has gone by." He answered, "They go by fast, don't they?" And I said, "Man, you don't know the half of it." We all can probably agree that years seem to pass more quickly the older we get. But let's go back to that minute I asked you about. That was the same for everyone, for all ages, right? Well, for some of you, it may have flown by. For some of you, if I was really boring, it may have dripped by really, really slowly. If you were asleep, maybe it was non-existent, or maybe infinite. Young children seem to experience time more slowly. Maybe it's because everything is new to them. We adults look at dandelions in our lawns and see weeds to get rid of. Children pull dandelions apart in order to examine the short yellow petals, or maybe just to enjoy pulling them apart. They're curious, they wonder, they question, like Bob's granddaughter, Mira, who's discovering a ripple. They have real beginner's minds, but the older we get, the more we know. The more we assume, we're experts. Mindfulness, being purposefully aware of each moment, brings us back to beginner's mind. It slows time down, changes it, maybe eradicates it temporarily. Thich Nhat Hanh reminds us that life is filled with many wonders, like the blue sky, the sunshine, the eyes of a baby. Our breathing, he writes, can be very enjoyable and can bring us back to the moment. According to Shunryu Suzuki, the goal of Zen meditation practice is to always keep our beginner's mind. If your mind is empty, as you've heard, it is always ready for anything. It is open to everything. In the beginner's mind, there are many possibilities. In the expert's mind, there are few. Suzuki Roshi and Thich Nhat Hanh remind us that not only meditation, but even how we do everyday tasks can affect our perception of the world and bring back the wonder of the moment. When we wash dishes, we generally are anxious to finish in order to do something else more pleasurable. When we cook, we look ahead to the meal. We are frogs, constantly jumping off the plate. Our minds grasping at other things, instead of being in the moment where we are. But mindfully doing tasks, such as washing a pot or cutting vegetables, can bring us back to ourselves, to our true selves, to wonder in awe at the infinity in a carrot or a crown of broccoli. Okay, maybe not broccoli. I'd like to talk a little bit about another aspect of my expertise. I know a lot. I'm an expert at what I think. I judge things. I know that I don't like baseball, but if I had to choose a team, it would be the Mets. But don't tell Jay. Okay. What time was it? Okay. I judge certain political figures as beneficial or dangerous. I judge drivers, excuse me, who share their really loud bass when they're next to me at a red light. And when my little car is parked between two big SUVs and I can't see when I try to back out of a parking space, I judge the people who own the big SUVs. I'm really good at judging. Last week, I was sitting in a carrel at the library writing this when the lady in the next carrel started making phone calls. I was annoyed and judged her to be inconsiderate. And then I judged myself for being selfish and annoyed. And then I judged myself for judging. When I judge, I am light years away from beginner's mind. First of all, maybe I'm not enough of an expert to make a judgment about a particular issue, but more importantly, seeing things as black or white puts up a wall between me and the other. In fact, if I'm part of an interconnected web of life, and I believe that I am, then the wall that I put up actually creates other. Shunryu Suzuki writes that the most important thing is not to be dualistic. And when I judge, when I put up walls, I separate myself from the world. I'd like to share a way that helps me remember to stop judging and brings me back to beginner's mind. You may have seen people bow and say namaste. Namaste is often interpreted as meaning the divine in me honors the divine in you. And if you squirm at the word divine, feel free to substitute another word, maybe love or light, like I do. Shunryu Suzuki says that bowing helps us give up our dualistic ideas. It helps eradicate those boundaries, those walls we build, and reminds us of our interconnectedness, which in turn leads to a compassionate mind. He says, the beginner's mind is the mind of compassion. It is boundless. Then we are always true to ourselves, in sympathy with all beings. Now, I'm usually too shy to bow and say namaste out loud, but I say it in my heart. When I do, I envision a shimmering light in me, honoring and merging with the shimmering light in all. Please join me in silent reflection.